It's an odd sentence construction, isn't it? It's one of those verses where people could take a verse out of context. Have you ever heard that little illustration where somebody said, let me give you verses that are all in the Bible. And they say something like, Judas went and hanged himself. Go and do thou likewise. What thou do as quickly, that thou receive a full reward. All in the Bible. All completely out of context. This beginning of the verse there, it says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wait a second, Pastor. Well, let's look at it if we could. In your introduction on your handout there, in chapter 2, the Holy Spirit through James, blank line there, James, continues the theme of right living or practical Christian living. That is the epistle of James. Amen. Faith that works. Practical Christian living. James deals first in chapter 2 with the sin of partiality. Being partial. Okay? And it says there at the end of the verse, talks about, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Okay? So that is the command not to be respecters of persons. And we have a threefold outline in the first four verses. We're only getting to verse 1 tonight, but there's a threefold outline. Roman numeral number 1, we have the instruction in verse 1. James gives some clear instruction. Then in verses 2 and 3, we have the illustration. He gives us an illustration of a body of believers that was respectful of the way, or of a particular person because the way he was dressed, and disrespectful of a person who wasn't dressed as nice. And by the way, that happens in churches all over the place. Oh, come sit over here, Mr. Moneybags. Amen? But what about that poor little widow who just ironed the only outfit that she had and came to church? God says she's just as precious as the other brother is. Okay, so we have the instruction, the illustration, and then in verse 4 we have the investigation, where he says, are ye not then partial in yourselves and have become judges of evil thoughts? So three major points here. The text, cross-reference there, and it should be chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, blank line there. The text, cross-reference, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, starts with, Roman numeral 1, the instruction. Okay, what is some instruction that we get out of verse 1? We have four basic points here that we want to give to you, and this is so much good stuff. By the way, I love this kind of stuff. This is the kind of dissecting of verses that God intended, not the kind where you cut it all up and don't make it mean what God meant. Amen. I love this, right? The first thing we see is number 1, the love. The love. And what is that? He says right there, my brethren. My brethren. The writings of James epitomize tough love. Listen, I'm glad for so many things, but one of the things I rejoice in is God's composition of the family. My wife is just sweet as sweet can be with our kids. Now, she, like a lot of you ladies, she knows when to take care of business. Yeah. But I'm glad that there's the balance of sweet love and tough love. See, the world's being told only sweet love is love. That's not true. You read the words of James here, and he starts here with tough love. This is the, on your blank line here, this is the fourth time of 15 that James uses the term brethren, and we list them all there for you. You can look them up on your own, go through those. He uses that. He loves his brothers, and I didn't put sisters because I didn't have enough room there. He loves his brothers and sisters and wants them to get it right. You know, somebody has said you only get one shot at the Christian life, and you want to get it right. And James wanted that so much that he was willing to give some tough love to people that needed it. Okay? So we're talking about here the love. He loves his brothers, wants them to get it right. Secondly, we see the legacy. Not only does he say, my brethren, but he says, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. So what's the legacy? He's saying here, the faith. The faith. And I have a great quote here, an excellent, excellent book on one of my favorite writers is Lehman Strauss. He pastored in the Detroit area for, I think, 30 years. He said, the stress that the apostle places upon works, however, is not apart from faith, but is rather the evidence and fruit of faith. True, what a man believes is important, but how he behaves is equally important. And what he's saying here is, the legacy is that, hey, if you're a Christian, if you have been entrusted with the faith, that's your legacy, amen? Your works say a lot about who you are. Amen? Your works are your legacy. How you live for the Lord at home, on the job, at church, all the things you do at the grocery store, your legacy is that faith. We've been made partakers of the faith. Amen? We've been entrusted with the faith. So there's the love there. Number two, there's the legacy. Number three, there's the Lord. The Lord. It says there, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And I love this. This family relationship, and by the way, we are a family. We're a family. You're my brother. You're my sister. I love you in the Lord. I think so well of a particular pastor in North Carolina. I remember the first time I ever went to his church, I was a student in Bible college. And Brother Merrill, it was impressive. And I'm not a person who's wowed by a big ministry. God blesses big ministries and God blesses little ministries. Amen. Same God. But I remember walking in and Brother Horsher, was 3,000 people there. It was people everywhere. It was, I think, Monday night of a revival conference. I couldn't get over it. There was just teeming with people. I got to have lunch with the pastor the next day. Dr. Malone came down, and he and Dr. Malone were friends. And here I am, my second year of Bible college. I've only been saved 4 years, and I'm having lunch with Tom Malone and a fellow named Bobby Robertson. Incredible man of God. He's been pastoring at the same church for almost 60 years. You know what it says on the sign? It says, Pastor, Brother Bobby Robertson. You know what everybody down there calls him? Brother Bobby. Brother Bobby. I like that. I like that. We're brothers and sisters. We're part of a family relationship. Amen. And then on your outline there, this family relationship is based on our personal relationship in Jesus Christ by faith. You see, ladies and gentlemen, just because the world says we're all God's children doesn't make it so. Go to that cross reference with me if you would in Galatians. Hold your place there in James and go over to Galatians chapter number 3. So you've got Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Galatians chapter number 3. And look, if you would, at verse 26. And this is a good verse. If you've got your Bible and you're in the habit of marking your Bible or highlighting your Bible, this is a great verse to highlight. It says, for ye are all the children of God, period. Is that what your Bible says? No. It says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The only reason I know you is because of Jesus Christ. The only reason. The only reason. And He is, ladies and gentlemen, the sum total of the faith. I love Colossians. You know what Colossians was all about? It was about combating something called Gnosticism. The Gnostics had come and they had all kinds of knowledge. They knew about everything. But they couldn't quite put their finger on who God was. And old Paul came back and said, let me just tell you something. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist, that he might have the preeminence. And the whole epistle of Colossians is all about how Jesus is all in all. Let's not forget, he's the Lord of our faith. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, according to Hebrews 12:2. So we see the love. We see the legacy. We see the Lord. And then lastly tonight, in just our few moments that we have left, what's the lesson in verse 1? What's the lesson? The lesson is simply, have not respect of persons. It's what James is clearly telling us here. If you can see him pointing his finger, amen. Don't be a respecter of persons. Okay, do me a favor. Let's run these cross references here. We've got a couple blank line there under the first bullet point. We see the character of God. The character of God. Let's run these cross references here. 2 Chronicles chapter number 19 verse 7. And then we'll go back into the New Testament there. 2 Chronicles 19:7. I'm just going to read it. If you're still traveling, that's okay. Wherefore now, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Okay? So it says here that the character of the Lord is he is not a respecter of persons. Go over to the New Testament. To the New Testament. Acts chapter 10. This is a great portion of Scripture concerning this topic. Acts chapter 10, because this is dealing with Cornelius, a Gentile, amen? At first, the gospel was to the Jews first, and then Peter saw his great sheet here in Acts chapter 10 at the end there, verse number 34. It says here, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. One book over, the book of Romans. Book of Romans, chapter number 2. Romans chapter number 2, and verse number 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. All right, Ephesians, book of Ephesians. Keep moving right. Amen. Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians chapter 6. Another great portion of Scripture. Talking here about the bosses. If you're the boss, God has something to say to you. It says, and ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Go past Philippians, go to the book of Colossians, chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. It's what we call a topical study. Studying on a particular topic here. It says, and again, a very similar passage here, a cross-reference. But he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong for which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. With who? Well, according to verse 24, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. God, okay? There's no respect of persons with him. 1 Peter 1:17, last verse here for this one. 1 Peter 1:17, right after the book of James, is the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 17, and it says there, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. So the character of God is this. He is no respecter of persons. Amen? But then, last bullet point here, we have not only the character of God, we have the command to man. What's the command to man? Let's go to Proverbs. We have two references in Proverbs and one here in our text, and I think you can guess what it is. Proverbs chapter number 24 and verse number 23. I'm using this new Bible, Criswell Study Bible here. Proverbs chapter number 24. And look, if you would, at verse number 23. It says here, these things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have what? Respect of persons in judgment. Now, over probably just a page or two, you've got Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 21. Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 21. And it says here, to have respect of persons is not good. And so even in our text, it tells us not to be a respecter of persons. And listen, folks, this is a sin that can sneak up on us. We can do it without even realizing it. And James says, look here, if you're a Christian, don't be a respecter of persons. You know, the easiest thing is just love everybody. Just live by that golden rule, amen. Do unto others no matter whether they're dressed well or dressed poorly, amen. Be kind to everybody. Everybody's having a hard time, amen. Don't judge a book by its cover, amen. Father, we love you. Thank you for your blessings. We pray now you'd bless, Lord, as we just conclude our service, as we have our invitation time. Lord, you know it's